Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Wednesday. We are live in Los Angeles. This is the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and right here on FS1, packed show today. Dana White next hour joining us from Fight Island. Tony Gonzalez, Hall of Fame tight ends, joining us too. Joy Taylor, co-pilot today. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. I can't wait for Fight Island. This has been like a dream of mine since I was a kid. I love Bruce Lee.
Oh.
End of the Dragon, Hans Island. Yeah. Hopefully it's a little bit more pleasant than Hans Island was.
It actually is with all the cases spiking in America. It's actually a brilliant move by UFC. They've just went into their own island, and
they're the first to do the bubble.
Yeah, and it's worked. It'll work. Okay, so I want to start with this. I tell young people all the time, put your head down, work hard. You'll get your chances. You don't even have to be great. If you're good, if you're focused, if you're competent, you may not be successful in your 20s. It may take mid-30s, early 40s. But if you work hard, you'll be successful. And you don't have to be gifted. Just be competent, because there's so much incompetence out there. I've been in this business 30 years. There's a reason you only know one baseball agent, Scott Boras, because there's a lot of bad ones. There's bad pilots. I mean, even jobs where you need qualifications, like a surgeon, there's bad surgeons. Years ago, I was having breathing problems. I went to a surgeon about my nose. He basically wanted to reconstruct my face, break bones, everything. I thought, that seems severe. I called a friend of mine, very respected in medicine. He goes, well, let me give you two people in the state of Connecticut. Drove down an hour. Both of them are like, that's the opposite of what you should do. They were like, that's an incompetent surgeon. You could have sued him. He was a surgeon. I know the medical school he went to. He was incompetent. The two other surgeons were like, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's a cartilage issue. It's no big deal. Take an hour. Barely invasive. The point being, you see these airplane crashes, a lot of times it's just pilot error. Very rarely mechanical. And so I saw this came out today. 50 league executives, coaches, scouts were asked to stack the top 10 players at 11 different football positions. I'm just going to go quarterback. We don't want to talk about guards and centers. So these are executives, general managers, scouts, creme de la creme coaches. Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson are 1 and 2. That's the good news. They got that right. But they show the highest and the lowest ranking each of them got. Somebody thought Patrick Mahomes was the fourth best quarterback in the league. Somebody thought Russell Wilson was the ninth best quarterback. Somebody thought Lamar Jackson was the 12th. Somebody thought Carson Wentz was the 14th. Somebody thought Dak Prescott and Matt Stafford were the fourth best quarterbacks. What? Did your TV not work at the end of last year in Philadelphia? Carson Wentz carried a scout team to the playoffs. Lamar Jackson was MVP. Are you watching the games? Is the television set not working? Now, Lamar Jackson's young. I get it. There are critics. I'm not one, but there are critics. But we've seen Matt Stafford for 9 years, 10 years, fourth. I've seen Dak Prescott for several, with a great O-line, with great receivers, with a great back. Fourth? Folks, there is incompetency everywhere. I'm a sportscaster. I love football. I watch it. I went on the air when Johnny Manziel and Tim Tebow were taken in the first round. And I said the day of, they're not NFL quarterbacks. These are not franchise quarterbacks. You cannot build a first-round quarterback is 12 years. They don't have to be Patrick Mahomes. You don't have to be that good. You don't have to be Terry Bradshaw. You don't have to be Peyton Manning. I'm not saying that. But if you draft a quarterback in the first round, you are saying, this is 12 years, this will work in the NFL. Tim Tebow? Years ago, I worked in Tampa. Rich McKay ran the franchise. A really smart guy now. He's in Atlanta. He does operations. Really, really smart guy. He's been on a lot of boards in the NFL. And in Tampa, the Florida Gators are a very popular football team. So Danny Werfel, and you know, he was just tearing up college football. And Rich didn't want to criticize him publicly because he's a nice kid. And there's no reason to offend your local fans. But he told me off the air, I can say it now. He's like, no, he can't. He can't play in the NFL. It's not an NFL quarterback. He's a very good college quarterback. He can't make the NFL throws. He got drafted in the fourth round. I mean, Danny Werfel. So the one GM at the time, I've got more sources now, but the one GM at the time I had direct access to was like, no. That's not an NFL quarterback. Danny's a great kid, and you could have him carry a clipboard, but but he can't make all the throws. Mike Ditka drafted him. He's a winner in college. Florida always has quarterbacks that win. Work hard, stay focused, head down. You'll be successful in life. Don't be a victim. Don't blame point fingers. You will be successful. Just work hard. Somebody in the NFL currently with a job thinks Lamar Jackson's the 12th best quarterback, Carson Wentz is 14, and Russell Wilson's 9. And Matt Stafford's 4. I like Matt Stafford. I get paying him. But somebody thought Patrick Mahomes and Matt Stafford and Dak Prescott were the same quarterback. I mean, I don't know what to do. I can't help you on that. Work hard, head down, stay focused, eat your vegetables, go to bed early. You will, some point in your life, you will get opportunities. Competency will get you employed. Not even great. Competency will get you employed. All right, 10 years ago today, it was egregious. It was outrageous. It was polarizing. I was deeply offended. 10 years ago today, it was a moment. It's like man landing on the moon. It's so memorable. LeBron James, as a free agent, had the audacity 10 years ago to the day to outrageously say this.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
In this fall, man, this is very tough. In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Yeah, that was audacious, wasn't it? 27-year-old nervous kid, sweating, said, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. Woo! I still, to this day, I get angry. The reason I supported LeBron 10 years ago is the reason I'm going to support him today. There is no right way for players to break up. You're the issue, not the player. We should have some breakup music for this, John. I'm going to give you 5 different examples of how players have tried to leave cities. 5 different ways completely for the breakup. And you have crushed all of them. Let's start with Carmelo Anthony. Do you remember how he did it? Carmelo Anthony. The breakup with Carmelo Anthony was, we can put it out here, it's not you, it's me. Remember? He said, Denver's great. The coaches are great. He just said, listen, I'm from the East Coast. New York City is more me. He did the it's not you, it's me breakup. He gave him a long tail on this. He just kept saying, man, it's been great. I love Denver. But you know, I grew up in, I think, Baltimore. I'm more of an East Coast guy. I played at Syracuse. I want to go back. You crushed him. All right, let's go to the next one. So the next breakup was... Go ahead, guys, in back. You throw it up. It was Letter on the Nightstand from Kevin Durant. Remember the Players Tribune? The next chapter in my life. He broke up delicately. He said, I want growth. It's the next chapter in my life. It was kind of finesse. It wasn't angry. It wasn't harsh. It was, I'm growing. It was very kind, actually. I just feel like it's the next chapter in my life. You absolutely crushed him. All right, now let's go to the next breakup. Paul George, the private breakup. It's classy. Listen, I love you, but let's just do this. No hurt feelings. I'm not going to humiliate you. I'm not happy. I'd like to go play out Los Angeles. He did the private breakup. And you crushed him. Remember? The organization, he even said, trade me. Make a trade now. A year in advance. A private breakup. And you crushed him. All right, let's go to another breakup. How about we go to the Anthony Davis ghosted the girlfriend. So Anthony Davis came out. He just disappeared. He just stopped playing. Where'd he go? He won't return my texts, my calls. Where'd he go? He ghosted the Pelicans. And he got booed at home. So he tried the ghosting, and you crushed him. And finally, the one that started it all, LeBron was hyper-aggressive. I'm going to embarrass you. I'm going to humiliate you. I'm going to announce my new girlfriend right on television. And you crushed him. Translation, they tried every different way. You rip them every time. It's not my responsibility to protect your feelings. It's your responsibility to give me great players I can play with if I'm an all-time talent. And you got to brace for the breakup. Cleveland, he held a press conference. You don't hold press conferences to stay. He was leaving. You couldn't get him a second all-star. He was putting up all-time numbers and still losing. You thought he was going to call a press conference to stay? This is why I'm always going to support the NBA superstar. There's only two sports in the world, not even football, as good as Patrick Mahomes is. If he didn't have a great coach, if he didn't have those weapons, if their defense didn't play well at the end of the year, Kansas City does not win the Super Bowl. They trailed midway through the fourth. He needs Andy Reid. He needs the O-line. He needs Tyreek Hill. He needs Travis Kelce. He needed Chris Jones. He needed the defense. It's a community thing. In the NBA and in international soccer, the star player does control the sport. And especially if the star player can bring one other great star player, guarantee success, often guarantees titles. It is not that star's responsibility to brace you for the breakup. Get him better players. If you couldn't figure out in Oklahoma City that Russell Westbrook was not a winning player with Kevin Durant, that is a you problem. If Dan Gilbert and Cleveland fans couldn't figure out LeBron didn't have one other high-level player, that is a you problem. I support the play. Even Melo, who I'm critical of. Melo gave you a year and you crushed him. I mean, he did it as classy as you could. It's not you, it's me. I'm an East Coast guy. I love it here in Denver. It's great. The Mile High City, very nice. It's very nice weather. It's high desert. Everything. It was like, but I'm kind of an East Coast guy. You crushed him. And I always laugh at LeBron James, he wasn't even cocky. Run the tape again. He's not even cocky. He looks nervous. He's honestly, I mean, LeBron's a pretty confident guy. LeBron looks like a kid who put on a really nice dress shirt, wanted to be really classy, and he's sitting down in the chair, and he looks a little scared. Watch.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. LeBron, what's your decision?
This fall, man, this is very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. And joined the Miami Heat.
Miami Heat. That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
That was the conclusion I woke up with this morning.
Really? You're outraged by that. Okay. Boy, I tell you, we have an outrage culture. It started with that. I don't remember as a kid everybody being outraged. That was the day the outrage culture in America started. You were outraged by that.
He's so nervous. He almost stutters a little bit.
I mean, he's
like
literally.
He starts talking and he's like, oh, this is a lot.
I've been on TV a lot in my life. I can tell when somebody's uncomfortable. He is uncomfortable doing it.
Because his city is going to react.
So this is why I support players leaving. They try it. They break up with you nine different ways. You hate them every time.
Well, we were the new girlfriend, so.
That's right.
Fine with me.
That's right. Miami was the new girlfriend with the aqua water in the backyard. Can you blame her?
We were thriving.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I'm not really a kind of a jealous guy, but I would say early in my career, 10, 15 years ago, there were times I watched other people and thought, man, they get great support. Because you can only do, if you don't get support in any business, it doesn't matter how great you are. You could be a great surgeon. You need a good chief of staff. You need good equipment. You need good nurses. You need good support, financial support. So, like, there were times in my life early in my career, I feel I have it now and I have for years, but there were a lot of times early I'd be like, I'm not jealous of the money. I just want the support, the marketing, the promotion, the support. And one of the great things about Patrick Mahomes, and this is why he signed the contract, he said it yesterday, basically, is this is one of the few places in the NFL you know you're going to get the support, owner, GM, head coach, for the next 10, 12 years. There's not many of them. And this is where Russell Wilson comes in. I could see Russell Wilson, not the envious type, right? Looking at Patrick Mahomes and thinking, day one, GM support, scheme support, weapon support, coach support. They even kept Alex Smith around to mentor him for a year. Now, I'm not saying Patrick's not great, but we all know that Brady's success is tied to the support system. And Carson Palmer's less successful years were tied to less than successful support. Think about Russell Wilson. This morning, Pro Football Focus ranked the Seattle offensive line 28th in the NFL. The defense, I'll give you the chart, last several years. Seattle's defense was number one back in 2013. It's now to second, to fifth, to 11th, to 16th. Last year, it was 26th. They don't draft particularly well. Several iffy first and second round picks in the last 4 to 5 years. The difference between Mahomes and Russell Wilson, and they are the two best quarterbacks, one guy is being supported philosophically with weapons, with coaching and schemes every day. The other guy is saving a deteriorating franchise. Owner, Paul Allen died. Seattle's looking for another one. General manager, Rashad Penny, first round. What are you doing? Coach, the defense doesn't work anymore. I mean, Pete Carroll's defense is getting gashed last 2 years. That doesn't mean they're not competent, but the philosophy of Seattle, defense, coach, run game, the philosophy, and the philosophy of Mahomes is, let's support this all-time talent. The difference is, Kansas City gets they have an all-time talent. Seattle doesn't. Their offensive lines are bad. They've never had an elite wide receiving core. Their philosophy is anti-quarterback, win the game. They have a Jurassic. It's such an outdated offense. And Russell Wilson's been begging for the last 2 years, can I have more input on the offense? Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to beg. In fact, Patrick Mahomes has had impact on who the Chiefs draft. They've asked him, which receiver do you think works? You think they do that in Seattle to Russell Wilson? You got to be kidding me. He just begs for support. I can see Russell looking at that and saying, listen, I love where I'm at, and I got my Super Bowl, but man, the philosophy in Kansas, we have the two best quarterbacks in the league. The philosophy in Kansas City is total support, build around him. The philosophy in Seattle sometimes feel like it's antagonistic. They both have one Super Bowl. I think they'll both win another, but man, I can see Russell Wilson looking at that and saying, I am a little jealous of the philosophical, weapon, coaching, schematic support Mahomes gets in Kansas City.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm always impressed. You know, let's say your parents went to Harvard, and then you go to Harvard, and you could say, oh, you're book smart. Well, that's fine, but you know, You don't really control your intellect. I mean, if you have smart parents, they give you genetically their intellect. I mean, a lot of smart kids had smart parents, right? But what I'm always impressed with is not the IQ. It's the EQ, emotional intelligence. That blows me away. I'm always blown away when you find a 24-year-old kid and he really gets it. A lot of 24-year-old kids are tech whizzes. You know, they're on computers all day. That's fine. That's impressive. But when somebody really gets it, a young person, that they understand macro and big picture and how they affect others, I'm always like, that's good parenting. That's rare. Patrick Mahomes is classic. So Drew Brees and Tom Brady figured it out much later in their careers. If I take less money, I get better people around me. So a lot of media people who have low EQs didn't get Patrick Mahomes signing a long-term deal, which is actually, if you look at the numbers, kind of team-friendly. Patrick Mahomes got it. One of the things, just think about this. If Patrick Mahomes takes every last penny, worst defense, has to win by shootout, has to pass now 40 times, probably can't pay for a great left and right tackle, gets hit more, gets sacked more, but if he passes 34 times a game with a better left tackle and a better right tackle and a better defense, there'll be days Patrick Mahomes can turn, hand it off, seal that puppy up late third, win the game. Big picture thinking. If you're trying to get every penny out, you're going to have to win by shootout. Translation, you'll have to throw more. Translation, you'll get hit more. And Mahomes was talking about that yesterday, how he talked to his dad, who was a former athlete, about being part of getting the money thing off the table, the stress, and saving a little long term so the entire franchise isn't reliant on you throwing 43 times every Sunday.
Obviously, being able to talk to my dad about it, be able to talk to LaTroy about it, and them going through the process of, they didn't sign that long-term contract, but they saw players who did, and they saw players who went about it and how they kind of got that long-term security and were able to go out there and play free, knowing that they had the security that they had always wanted. I think the biggest thing that they preached to me is kind of the same thing that I had already thought, and it was good just to hear them, is that you want to have great players around you. You don't want to be a guy that takes up all the money and then all of a sudden you're having to find different guys that will take cheaper deals. We're going to be able to reward players and keep a lot of these guys around that have built the culture even before I was here.
Totally gets it. It's like 24 years old. Brady figured it out later. Breeze figured it out later. But for the young guys to get it, like, I don't want to be 44 throws a game. Like, you got to understand, in this league, it's a salary cap sport. It also shows that he's secure in himself, that he's not driven by money, that in the end, when you're really, really great, you don't have to project. You have confidence in yourself. And confidence in yourself is, I'm chasing GOAT status, not biggest bank account status. He knows, man, I got Andy Reid. I can start stacking these things. I may get 4 Super Bowls. So that shows me an incredible amount of confidence that it's not about my bank account. I'm going to make a lot of money. If I do this right, I'm going to have a Pro Bowl left tackle, a Pro Bowl tight end, a Pro Bowl defensive end, a Pro Bowl corner, a Pro Bowl Mike linebacker. You know, just a very impressive guy. Not just a quarterback. You know, he also, and Terry Bradshaw, by the way, brought up something on yesterday's show that the titles, they become part of you. They stick to you. Like the money doesn't stick to you. You'll spend that. The government will take half. Your agent will take some. But Bradshaw talked about what people talk about 30 years later.
I've never had a soul ever, ever ask me, hey, Bradshaw, how much money did you make? Hey, Bradshaw, how many yards did you throw for? Hey, Bradshaw, how many touchdown passes did you throw for? They always want to what? Show me the rings. That is what this is about. Patrick understands this is a lot of money.
It is. There was another moment where Mahomes talked about how he wanted a long-term deal because Kansas City is one of the few teams, and I'm going to let Patrick say this, Kansas City is one of the few teams that he'd feel comfortable signing this deal with.
You can't do this with every single organization, but when you have an organization with the stability and the culture that we have in the Chiefs organization, I felt very comfortable and had a lot of trust that I could do a contract like this, knowing that we were going to have that same stability by the time I'm at the end of that contract.
It's remarkable how rare it is. Kansas City's got an A owner, Hunt family, A GM, Brett Veach, A coach, Andy Reid. And you start saying, oh, there must be like 8-9 teams like that. I count 3. Kansas City, Philadelphia, Baltimore. You say, what about New England? Well, they don't have a real general manager. And I don't like the way they draft. I don't. I don't think they draft particularly well. Well, Seattle. Well, their owner passed away. The daughter doesn't want to own it. And John Schneider doesn't really have power as a GM. It's all Pete Carroll's franchise. Well, what about San Francisco? We were crushing Jed York when he hired Jim Tom Sula and Chip Kelly. That was 5 years ago. We were crushing him. Pittsburgh, they've got a lot of high grades. I'm not sure it's all an A. Indianapolis, owner's too impulsive. I count 3 in the league. KC, Philly, Baltimore. I get a supportive owner that doesn't meddle. I get a great GM who has a very good relationship with a coach, but the GM makes the calls. The GM makes the picks. And a head coach who creates a system based on the players. It's not my system, Seattle, and you just try to work your way around it. It is rarefied air. This is why it works in Kansas City. He's got the owner, the GM, the coach. And man, you start looking around this league, I got Philly, Kansas City, Baltimore. That's it. Aaron Rodgers, they don't have an owner. and they frankly haven't taken advantage of some of Aaron's talent. Seattle, I just talked about that last hour, don't take advantage of Russell Wilson's talent. Even the teams that we think, oh, they have a good fan base, they have good money, they have some good players, they have a good coach, to really get the AAA, owner, GM, coach, so rare. So rare in this league.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
This is one of the reasons that UFC has worked during COVID. They don't care what Twitter thinks. The bottom line is they want to get fights on. This is hard for American business. I mean, I'm coming into my building now getting tested multiple times. You've got to at some point realize that young athletes may get it. It can't stop your sport. And I give UFC a lot of credit for this. I've said before, SEC football, NASCAR, and UFC, they're hyper-aggressive sports. Timid is not getting through COVID-19. If you look at the data, athletes, young athletes, are the safest. And Dana White can ruffle feathers, but I think what they've done is really smart and really aggressive, and I can't wait to watch it. I've watched every card they've had during COVID, and Dana's the president of UFC. He is joining us now via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So, you know, Dana, you got some pushback initially, and we kept saying on the air, folks, you better have guts on this. You better not sit on Twitter, because you got to push back on this thing. We can't be paralyzed in the economy. You go 3 months ago, Dana, you were getting a lot of heat for this. Did it bother you at any point? Were you cautious at any point thinking I'm going too far and just going to be aggressive against COVID?
Very well said. I agree with you 100%. And it's not that I ever felt like, there was too much heat. It was just incredible the amount of people that tried to stop it from happening. Literally, mixed martial arts reporters, people who cover this sport, who get paid to cover this sport, were doing everything in their power to try to stop our events. And obviously they were not successful. And we have been very successful throughout this thing.
Now, I don't know much about Yaz Island. I saw the pictures and I said, get me there fast. Was it your first option? Did you know about it before this?
Well, what happened was when Khabib got stuck in Russia and, you know, it was looking like I wasn't going to be able to get him out for the Tony Ferguson fight, I started looking at Abu Dhabi and, they said, we have an island available that you guys can do the fight on. You could do it over at Yaz Island. I've had a lot of experience out here in Abu Dhabi. These people are brilliant forward thinkers who, everything we've done with them has been first class. I knew that these were the right guys to do it with. And again, I was right. These guys are amazing.
So this weekend, the welterweight championship fight, and I told you this before, I'm not sucking up. I think you put on wildly entertaining cards. The Tony Ferguson card, and I said this, it was one of the two best cards I've ever seen. I thought it was unbelievable. I think Gaethje was on that. It was Justin Gaethje and Tony
yes.
Ferguson. I didn't know much about Gaethje. Now I've had him on the show. So this weekend, you've got Kamaru Usman, Jorge Masvidal. That's your headline fight. For somebody that is a casual UFC fan, what are we going to see?
Well, thank you, first of all. And I agree. These kids have fought in these fights like we were in sold-out packed arenas. It's been incredible. They're the reason that this sport has taken off the way that it has. And if you are a casual, I am sure that this has already spilled over. You've already heard about the Usman Masvidal fight. This is one of the major fights. If this wasn't going on right now, we'd be in some big sold-out arena in New York or Vegas or somewhere else. This is a great fight between the champion, Kamaru Usman, versus Jorge Masvidal, who has been on a tear lately. This kid has become a superstar in the last year and a half with his knockout over Till and his incredible, like, 5 or 7 second flying knee knockout over Ben Askren. This is a real fight, and this is the fight that the people wanted to see. This is the fight that the fans wanted, and now they're going to get it.
You know, go back to the beginning and to today. It feels like to me the quality of UFC fighters is better. There's more disciplines. There's better fighters. There's a new wave of young people. I've always wondered, where do you find them? Because, you know, you could have gone, you've had the opportunity to go shticky, and you could have gotten NFL guys that retired, a lot of them, and you've said, no, I'm going to find the next great crop of guys and grow with them. Can I just ask, where do you find them? Where do your scouts hang out? Where do you see these guys?
So what's happened in the last 20 years is the sport has evolved and the athletes have evolved from the training, nutrition, the list goes on and on. And now we're getting kids because there's so much more money involved in the sport. We're getting kids that would have played other sports, that would have been good football players, good basketball players, whatever it might be, that are turning into professional fighters instead. And these fights go on every weekend all over the world. And our guys keep an eye on every one of these fights, know who the up-and-coming talent is. And when we have our matchmaking meetings, they bring them to me and make me aware of who they think is the next big thing.
You know, it is interesting. Conor McGregor's always, you know, Conor McGregor's a salesman. I get it. I find him entertaining. I've said before, he fights, I'll watch. But what's interesting about Conor now, Dana, I think you have better fighters. And that's not a shot at him. I just think the sport's evolved. I don't think he's one of the top two or three fighters. If I said to you, Conor McGregor is not a top five UFC talent right now, is that a shot at him? Am I unrealistic? Am I accurate? And that's not, again, I'm not an expert here, but I just think you have better fighters than him.
I understand. Yeah, no, there's no doubt that Conor McGregor is one of the best in the world. What's going on with Conor McGregor is what goes on with all professional fighters when they become extremely wealthy. And Conor McGregor is rich. And he, you know, he gets to pick and choose what he wants to do now. And he's at that point in his career where he's got a few fights left. And I think he wants to, you know, as of right now, he's retired. I wouldn't be surprised if he came out and wanted to fight somebody next year after all these different fights play out.
You know, when you look at this weekend's card, we're dealing with, you know, COVID, period. It's difficult. Is it, when you have your relationships with your fighters, some can be married, people are having kids, blah, blah, blah. You're dealing with everything that Americans are dealing with. What are the relationships like with your top fighters and their worries about this? Is it been, take me inside. How difficult has it been? You're battling what Adam Silver's battling in the NBA and Roger Goodell, except the difference is you're playing. How difficult is it?
I actually think that throughout this thing, it's made me and my staff stronger and me and my fighters stronger. I think that, you know, in good times, and the UFC has seen nothing but good times. It's been like this since, you know, 2005. And, you know, in good times, everybody's good. Everything's great. It's in the hard times that you find out who's real. Who do you really want to be in a foxhole with when things go bad? I know my team. I believed in my team always. I think I have the best team in all of sports, if not all of business. And then with my fighters know that when I do something, I'm going to do it right. They know that they're going to be safe. They're going to be protected. No matter how scary this thing is and how much we don't know about it, I feel like the fighters believe that I'm going to do the right thing and spend any amount of money that it costs to make this thing safe.
You know, Dana, you have a very unique personality. You and I have disagreed on stuff, but I've told you before off the air that you're a maverick, and the sport would not have existed or survived or flourished without your personality. And you get a lot of crap from the media, a lot of established media, and you fire right back on it. Is there ever been a moment you're discouraged by it? Is there ever been a moment you just like, I'm tired of this stuff?
Never. Never, and I've been very, very loud about this. I look at the media as the weak. They are the weak. I'm never going to have a time of my life where the media are going to determine what I do with my business. When they come out and they write these stories and they say these things at me, I look at these guys and I say, that is exactly what I would expect that guy to say. He is weak. He's afraid. And this doesn't surprise me. So, no, it doesn't bother me. And it definitely doesn't faze me in any way, shape, or form.
All right. So I just like that we're back on good terms. You're a Vegas.
We've always been on good terms.
I know.
We've never been on bad terms, you and I. We've disagreed, like you said, But you and I have never been on bad terms.
Dana, I'll be watching UFC 251 Fight Island. Can't wait. Love having you on the show. And I don't know how we pulled this thing off. You're in Abu Dhabi. I'm in L.A. I don't even understand technology, but it looks great. I don't even get how this is working. But thank you for doing it.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So Patrick Mahomes signed a 12-year contract. 12-year contract. And there's very few people, coaches or players, I'd give to a 12-year contract. Very few. So, Joy, let's play the game, the Herdy Dozen. Give me a dozen players or coaches. Would I sign them, all things considered, to a 12-year contract?
Would you give a 12-year contract to Russell Wilson?
Never missed a game, never had a losing season, takes incredible care of his body. Yes, this is an easy one. Russell Wilson's just a guy. I get the Mahomes maturity, doesn't really take hits, bizarrely so. This is an easy one.
How about Lamar Jackson?
Not yet. 0-2 in the preseason. I got to see postseason success. His game, though he is a thrower, would he be as fast at the end of the deal at 35? Give me another year on Lamar Jackson.
All right, would you give a 12-year contract to Deshaun Watson?
No. Two ACL injuries, and I think their offensive line keeps getting worse. I'm not sure in 6 years he's going to be the same player.
How about Kyle Shanahan?
Yes, I think he's the most intellectual young offensive coach in football. I think he's got a passion. He's only 40 years old, so he'd be 52. That's kind of what they think is the prime of coaching, his early 50s. That's probably the easiest yes on the board.
How about Sean McVay?
Yes, because I think he's really bright and I think he's really driven. You know, here's the thing with McVay. People got too high on him early and they're too low on him now. He's 33-15. Last year they were 9-7 and it was a mess with the Todd Gurley situation. The general manager is at times signed too early and paid too much for some players. It's put him in weird positions. It's been a little bit of an all-star team to coach. I'm not fond of that. I think you draft your players and you create a community. I think when you start bringing in all these stars, there's different entitlements and different issues. So I don't think they've been the easiest team to coach for the last 3 years. So McVay now is hearing a lot of criticism. I still think he's going to be a legendary coach.
How about Trevor Lawrence?
Yes, he is the John Elway, Andrew Luck, and Trevor Lawrence. Doesn't mean they're the best quarterbacks. They're the three most guaranteed good quarterbacks out of college. And by the way, we were right with Andrew Luck. He won 11 games with a terrible team. This kid's 25-1. I'm not saying he's great. I'm saying as a prospect, he's the...
So in the NFL, you've never seen him play. You would give him a 12-year contract.
Yep, right now. Well, I said Elway and Luck were the best college quarterbacks, not in terms of production.
Right.
In terms of, oh, that's a guaranteed star in the NFL. He's a 6'6", mobile, and very good in big games outside of one against LSU when he played against just better players.
How about Lincoln Riley?
Yes, I think he understands the game. I think he's really smart. I think he's progressive. I think he gets the social changes. And the offense in Oklahoma has been first and third in the country. I think he totally gets the quarterback position, which I think is the future of the sport. He's a home run.
All right, this is a tricky one. About Dabo Swinney?
Nah. Well, too much ego for me. I think he stumbled with social changes. Listen, let's be honest. Take out Trevor Lawrence's 25-1 record, and he's a really, really good coach. I mean, you have Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence back-to-back. Now, he gets credit for recruiting him. But Trevor Lawrence, take out the 25-1 with Trevor Lawrence. It took him a long time to get going. I think he's a good coach, but I see a lot of hubris, and I see a lot of ego, and I think I'll keep him as long as he wins.
All right, well, you can't give 12-year contracts in the NBA, as we know, but if you could... Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Absolutely. Absolutely. First of all, points per game and rebounds have gone up every year. So what does that tell me? It tells me he's a worker. He's never had a big injury. Good head in his shoulders. When your numbers keep going up, and it's not like they're going up from nothing, like the floor, it tells me he's not satisfied with stats. He's a winner. And again, he's a good athlete. He's a winner. I'd say yes.
Luka Doncic.
Yes. I mean, Luka Doncic is a – and some guys come into the NBA, and you're like, oh, he's going to score 27 points a game for 15 years. And again, Luka's big, mobile, shoots. That's the league.
Jason Tatum.
Absolutely. Again, 40-point shooter. Do you realize before we got COVID, the last 10 games for Jason Tatum before COVID? Listen to these numbers. 31 points, 8 rebounds, 47% three-point shot. I think he's the fifth best player in the NBA.
Zion Williamson?
No. Okay, I got a knee sprain at Duke, a bruised knee in summer league, torn meniscus in preseason. I'm not giving him 12 years. And I love him. 12 years? This is scary. That's a lot of injuries for 19 years old. A lot of injuries. Probably people think I hate Dabo Swinney. I don't, but there's certain coaches I think are great. I see too much ego. I'm not giving you 12 years. I want you to work for it. Lincoln Riley, I see no ego. So it's like this show.